Hello, everybody. Sorry. Today is Saturday, 2022. Welcome to our Contract Ref Conference Call. We're not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We're not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional services. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. Thanks again for joining us today. We are Indicator Information Institute. My name is Carol Worlius, and my partner Jim Knox and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturday of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, indicatorinformation.com, and some of our older calls are on YouTube. As we get closer and closer to our expected exchange, we thought this would be a good time to review our common law contract trust and why we think it is the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. As always, your questions are welcome. Star 6 to raise your hand. I'm going to go through this kind of quickly today because Jim has a few things he wants to talk about, so I'll try to keep mine a little shorter and maybe less conversational than usual. Anyway, the common law contract trust has many features and benefits. You can be your own trustee, thus there is nobody between you and your money. It is irrevocable, providing superior asset protection. The trust owns the assets, you manage them, and no one can take them from you. It ensures financial privacy. No one knows what you have. It's valid in all 50 states. It avoids state income tax and correctly domiciled in a state that does not levy such a tax. There is no double taxation unless a corporation or LLC. It is eligible for EIN, which we obtained for you. It provides for future generations. You name your own successor trustee. It limits liability. You don't own assets, so no one can take them from you. It avoids probate. There's no waiting, no attorneys, no government intervention. Avoids death and inheritance taxes. Your estate remains intact upon your death. State preservation provides for generational wealth. No government or state registration provides for your privacy. There are no annual fees, which saves you time and money. Your contract trust received from us consists of a contract and declaration of trust, specific minutes, and notary pages. There are schedules for your assets. We give you extra minute pages for future use. We also supply you with certificates and a template for a blank certificate and abstract of trust. Access to our website. You are invited to access our website with complete instructions and essay the uses of the business trust and commerce. The website also has legal opinions on uses of the trust and sample minutes and documents for your use. As I mentioned, we obtain an EIN for the trust name you choose. Your currency gets into the trust by the initial exchange. You can add more currency by minute as you acquire it. You do not have to share with us how much currency you have, just the types of currency. There are several ways to get money from the trust. You can borrow, draw a trustee salary, get reimbursed for expenses, take a distribution, or fund new trusts for specific reasons. Initially, all you need is a mother lode trust, which holds your currency and will be the trust that you use at your exchange. You'll probably want additional trusts in the future, such as management trust, real estate, annuity, charitable trust, etc. For those of you that are wondering, Jim and I have been in this business over 30 years each. Neither Jim nor I have any negative issues our clients have experienced because of this trust. And no, we're not planning on retiring anytime soon. However, we both will be taking a few weeks off immediately post-RV to attend our own business. We understand that many of you may be anticipating purchasing some property or vehicles during that time. So we are offering an abstract of trust to assist you in closing those deals. The applications are on our website, 3itrustdad.com, costs $200. This is available only to existing customers, existing clients, and Jim's going to talk about that a little more. There does seem to be some confusion. I'm going to go off the beaten track here because we usually don't talk about the RV, but there's a couple things here that I would like to mention. There seems to be a lot of confusion regarding the actual exchange. From what we understand, there will be special exchange centers all over the country set up specifically for those of us in Tier 4B, the so-called Internet group. If you are on this call, you are in Tier 4B. If you bought your currency from an authorized dealer, you will probably get an email from Wells Fargo or HSBC advising you of the SafeLink website to set your appointment. Don't be alarmed if you don't get the email. There are the quote-unquote gurus out there who will be posting the SafeLink website when they get it. We will send the blast email saying the eagle has landed with links to the above gurus. From what we've read, the exchange centers will offer higher contract rates than the banks. AvanceRed will have up to 10 days, only 10 days to make our appointments, but we can set our appointments up to 30 days out. From what I'm hearing, you know, a lot of folks are still talking about going to their local bank to exchange. There are some drawbacks to this. If you do that, you are more than likely to be dealing with people in your own community. You really want anybody to know you suddenly deposited millions of dollars. I think not. I mean, I certainly wouldn't. Also, the rates offered by the banks are said to be substantially lower than the exchange centers. More than likely, you will be told what to bring to your appointment. At the very least, you will need two pieces of valid ID. Proof of address. They usually talk about recent utility bills, but I know a lot of people, let's just put it this way, maybe couch surfing these days. So you can use a medical bill, you can use a cell phone bill, something that shows you do have an address somewhere. You should also take your abstract of trust and your tax ID letter. Bring a copy of your trust, but do not offer it unless they ask for it, which I think personally is unlikely. Your currencies, and they should be neatly bundled and labeled. Currency tally sheets for each currency. Exclusion to your NDA. There may be people that you want to be able to talk freely with after this exchange takes place, but unless you add them to your NDA, you may not be able to. So obviously, for instance, Jim and I have added each other to our exclusion to NDA. Our associate Karen, who does a lot of work for us, is on my exclusion to NDA. So you may want to think about who you might want to add to that. Bank account information, if you have it. Currency receipts, if you have them. From what I understand, you do not need them. But I suppose if you have them, you can bring them. And gift letters of any currency that has been gifted to you. Personally, I have prepared a binder that includes all of these, plus a short bio and humanitarian plans that I have. I don't have any projects of my own, but intend to fund projects others have presented to me. I also have a 90-day and 6-month needs budget. Not a full-blown-out budget, but I need this amount of dollars in 90 days that I need, this much more in 6 months. Also, I've listed the things that I feel I must do as soon as possible, like hiring assistants, providing for security, which Jim's going to talk about some more as well. Interviewing and hiring personal bankers, wealth advisors, etc. So that is as much as I prepared for right now, because I know Jim has a lot to add. So, Jim, you're up.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Welcome to the call, everybody. Last Tuesday, we had our first, we'll call it our inaugural call about security for individuals and all of our clients, but mostly for individuals. It was wild. It was great. I loved it. We had quite a few people on there with some great questions. We're going to have another call on Tuesday at 3 o'clock Pacific time. And I'm going to send out tomorrow, I'm going to send out the invite for Tuesday. It's a Zoom call. You can have your mics and your cameras and everything, or you can just listen in. Doesn't matter. But the information was unbelievable. I mean, I had no idea about some things he presented, and it goes to awareness, and he really pushed that. You have to be aware of your surroundings, have to be aware of where you're at in your life, have to be aware that there's going to be some bad people trying to get your money, have to be aware that when you go overseas, things are all different. You don't. The thing is, most Americans, we all dress alike, and he made a point of that, is that, you know, we all wear ball caps, and or some type of a hat. In Europe, it's not very common. So if you're walking around blue jeans, T-shirt, and ball cap, they know you're an American. So you have to look at things a little differently. And now that we're getting to that point where the money is inevitable, in my opinion, that we need to start thinking further ahead. When you start thinking about, okay, I've got to protect my family, got to protect myself, got to protect my friends, because, you know, associates and friends could become an issue as far as if somebody's trying to get to you, they may get to them to try and get to you. Those are things I hadn't really thought through, but he brought that up. So the next Zoom meeting is going to be Tuesday, and he's going to go to the next level, the next step. And I'm excited about it. I'm really anxious to see what he has to say next. And his credentials are unbelievable. I mean, the guy is really a wealth of knowledge. And it's not just the security. It's about changing your lifestyle to hide the fact that you have money, how you do things, where you go, how you get there, all those little things that I really hadn't thought through. So I'm really jazzed about that. We'll go more into that maybe later with some questions from people. There was a few people that were there on there that will probably give us some more insight. So I'm going to jump to the next subject, and that is the abstracts, abstract of trust. We come up with a decision a couple days ago, and then we're going to implement it today, that Carol mentioned it, that if you're an existing customer, let's say that you know you need an automobile trust, and you need a real estate trust, and you want a management trust, but you just can't quite get those right now financially. If you can get the abstract, you have all the credentials to go to the bank, open all your accounts. And then once you get there and you have your cash and you can finish paying for everything, you know, we've got the abstract done, so we've got the database set. All we have to do then is do the merge files, print them out, and ship them to you. So everything that you fill out on the abstract application is everything we need for the whole trust. So if you need those for $200, it's a heck of a deal. And then you're set up. So I know that I was talking to somebody last night, and they were telling me they need 5 trusts. They just can't afford it. But they're going to do the 5 abstracts right away because they know what they need. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do. We're trying to help everybody by planning a little further in advance and say, okay, here's a way to get around some of the stuff you're going to have to get around. Here's a way to work with a bank. Here's a way to get your real estate into that thing right away or your car into that trust right away. Hold on a second, folks. Noise in the background. You can hear it. Is a Gulf 5 just flew overhead. Anyway.
I can't hear it.
Okay, good. It was really loud in here. And there went my airplane, folks. So anyway, it left again and forgot me. Anyway, it was loud in here. It really was. So the abstract is going to be a solution. And I think that it'd be a great idea to consider that as soon as possible. And let's get that stuff started for you. I think that that's about all I really want to talk about. Let's open this up to Q&A. And if anybody was on the Radon Tactics seminar, jump in here and help out. Tell us what you thought was the most significant moment in that thing. Tell us what you thought about, okay, wow, that's a thought I never had. I didn't realize that. You know, give us some input so we can get more people to participate. Oh, and by the way, the first call is on the website. And you can go there and just go to the log into the website, and then at the menu at the top, on the right-hand side, it says blog, B-L-O-G. Click on that, and then it'll take you into the blog area. And then from there, you can go right on in and watch it. It's great. I'm going to pull it up right now for myself because I'm in the website and I already set the timer for next call. So I'm in the blog now, and you'll see the top one. It says determine your value, and it shows two cartoon bears. And there's the crosshairs where the scope is looking at the bear, and the bear's grinning and pointing to the bear next to him like, shoot him. You know. So you click on that image, it takes you all the way to the blog, and then there is the video. So it's that simple. Now, the next, on Tuesday afternoon, we'll get this done by Wednesday morning, or maybe Tuesday afternoon late. I'll have it on there. There'll be another one just like this. It'll be a different image, and it'll be the next hour and a half vlog. This was an hour and 24 minutes on this video, and we'll probably run about an hour and a half on each one of them. So with that being said, Carol, you want to open it up for some Q&A, see what we can find out with people about it?
Yeah, this works in this new interface here. Q&A. Well, there's nobody there yet, so in order for them to speak, they must join the queue, and everybody selected the host. Anyway, it's the same thing. You do have to do star six to ask a question. So, in the meantime, you know, we've been hearing a lot of good things that this does appear to be imminent, but as I've said for so many years, we've heard imminent for many years. So, like, probably a lot of you, I refuse to get excited until I know it's real. But it does appear to be close. So a lot of people have so far already taken advantage of this abstract of trust offer, because as Jim said, it will get you ready. Okay, Gary, we have a question. Let's see how this goes now. How do I do this? There we go. Gary, there you are. What's your question today, Gary?
Just a question. I enjoyed the conference call the other day regarding personal protection and everything, and being having your personal awareness more sharp than what most of us have it right now. Will he be going into like personal protection that we can hire people if we need them for certain things, like if we're traveling or if we need them for our location, something like that? I don't know what I'm asking, so I'm stumbling here because I don't know how to put it in words.
Jim? Oh, let's see. How do I go back and find my Jim? Jim, why don't you... Jim, you got a new Star 6 so I can bring you online. This is different than the old interface. Star 6, Jim. Because I can't see you anymore. There we go. Let's see. Okay. Jim, can you answer that question for Gary?
Yeah, I did, but evidently not anybody can hear but me. We're going to go get these people a free conference call and have a talk with them. Okay.
Yeah, really.
Let's talk about that first real quick. When we got a hold of them, they said, oh, we were blindsided too. We didn't know they were going to change the interface. Hello? Doesn't the right hand know what the left hand is doing in your company? Anyway, Gary, yes, he's going to have everything. He's going to talk about all of this stuff. And they are going to show us some videos and as we go along on basic stuff to be aware of and maybe some moves to be able to protect yourself. If somebody walks up behind you, how to grab their hand or something like that, I think he's going to go into that. But he's going to talk about all of the different times that you probably will need to have security and how to get a hold of him and order the security in advance. And they'll meet you wherever you need to be. For example, if you're going to Italy, they can have people on the ground in Italy waiting for you. So they're international. It's not a big deal. They're international. They have people all over the world.
That's excellent.
And in America, all of their, as I understand it right now, all of their agents are actually police officers, licensed police officers in states. So at one time I was getting ready to buy a property in northern Idaho. Deal fell apart. That's okay. But what he did is he located a guy that was licensed as a police officer in Idaho. So if he was with me, protecting me, if somebody starts harassing me, he has a right there and then to arrest him and hold him for the local, what they call the LEOs, local law enforcement. And so they have that ability no matter what state you're in. They'll have somebody there that has the ability, legal ability, to arrest somebody on the spot. So
excellent.
You don't have to worry about somebody harassing you, and then you have to wait and see if they're going to chase you down because they've been arrested. That's kind of cool if you think it through, because you know right then and there that they're not going to be following you anymore. So that answer your question, Gary?
It did, and more. That's excellent. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, let's see. There's another question. All right. Hang on a second, guys. Hurry off. Yeah, Martin, go ahead, sir.
To add to what Jim Knox just said, Frankie has shared with us that in the event you have acquired gold or silver or other assets and you're not sure where to leave them so that they're safe, they have the ability to hold them for you in their preserve, which happens to be in a police station. So that's an add-on. These guys can help with just about anything that you want or need as it relates to sometimes the security of your assets, such as gold and silver or other valuable assets like that, that you don't want to leave in the bank. What happens if you put them in your safety deposit box, all of a sudden the bank's closed and you can't get in to get them? To have them ensconced somewhere else in that is also a police department, you can't do much better for security than that. And Jim is correct about the fact that the people that you can hire are at Radon Tactics, and they are international. They are all over the United States. They are all over virtually any country you want to go to. They have people there on the ground that would be able to help you. That's it.
Right. Excellent.
Thank you.
On that little note about the silver and gold, before we go further,
sure.
Most people don't realize that the banks, if you put them in a box, safety deposit box, they cannot keep anybody with a badge out of your box. They all have the right to look in your box. I did not know that till recently. So I don't have a safety deposit box anymore.
Yeah, really. My goodness.
Okay, next question. Do we have another one?
We don't seem to have any right now, but why would you like to talk a little more about management trusts and how you envision them working?
Sure. The reason we came up with a management trust was because, well, we were using them. We just didn't call them that at the time. We didn't really think about it that way. We have a trust that's set up to manage all of our stuff in my bank account. I have it right now. It's operational. I have multiple trusts that it's taken care of right now. I've had it with Wells Fargo for 11 years, and I have a debit card, and I have a checking account set up on it, you know, the checks, the whole nine yards. And the reason I set mine up a long time ago is because I didn't want to have all these EI numbers out there, employee identification number. And, of course, that's going away anyway now. So what we try to do is come up with a system where one entity controlled all the money. So you only had to worry about one bank account. You know, what I do is I have one bank account, and I run a spreadsheet. And on my spreadsheet, in fact, I'll open up as we're talking. On my spreadsheet, it's very simple how I set this up. I simply have it where I can go in and look at whatever my account is, whichever one I'm looking at. For example, I'm going to pull it right now. In my automobile, it tells me everything I've got that I've spent money on. So I have every bill that my trust pays. I have it listed as, you know, my rent, my water bill. I have an automatic transfer to savings. I have everything, my electric bill, everything. It's all there. So I run a spreadsheet instead of running multiple EI numbers. So all I do is every time I buy something, I go into the spreadsheet, find the column I want to drop it in, put it in. I can tell you exactly how much money I've spent to date right now on everything I've been buying. And that's essential for a good business. You got to know where you stand financially. So the management trust does that for me. And I only have one checking account. And what I do is I make notations whenever I use the debit card to pay a bill of what that was. And that's all you need. Now, if you want to have multiple checking accounts, you can. You can have a checking account for a real estate trust. You can have a checking account for your automobile trust. You can have a checking account for your personal stuff. You can do that. But we created this thing to make it simple. Now, we've linked contracts to this. So if you have your motherlode trust is going to create a real estate trust, well, it would probably be the investor into the new trust, and therefore it can put money in that trust. However, since you don't have an EI number nor a bank account for the real estate trust, it's diverted by contract, real estate trust contracts to the management trust. And then the money is placed in the management trust for the real estate trust. You put as much money in there as you think you're going to need. Now, if you're going to make payments, put a bunch of payment money. If you paid cash, then just put a bunch of money there for the taxes, insurance, maintenance, lawn care, whatever you want. Just put it in there. And the money is sitting there. And you can use the card for it anytime you want for whatever you need. Same with an automobile. Same with just about anything else you want to buy, equipment, anything like that. This trust, the management trust, is going to be your banking entity other than the motherlode trust. There's two different things here, folks. The motherlode trust is the one that you're going to go to the bank and you're going to have all your money dropped in there. Then you're going to either contract and create the other trust and move the money around accordingly to the management trust. So that is, Carol, does that explain it well or not?
I think so. And you know, like Jim said, the biggest reason for this, to make it easier, if you've got one checking account, one debit card to take care of all the stuff you need to take care of, it's a lot easier than keeping track of five or six. You know, and if you've got, let's say you have your residence and then you have a vacation home and you have a boat and you have an RV, do you really want to have different bank accounts or all those things? So you just want to pay your bills like a normal person under one account. So that's the reason we came up with that. But that brings up something interesting. We've also read a lot recently that if you have more than one currency, let's say you have dinar, dong, and zim, you need different accounts for every currency when this RV, when this exchange happens. The big thing here, folks, is accounts, multiple accounts, not multiple trusts. Well, obviously, if you want multiple trusts, you can have them. But you could still have motherlode trust account I, for instance, for dinar. Account B for dong, account Z for zim. I don't know how long we're going to have to do that. I don't even know if we're going to, but I've heard of it over and over again for years. But it is not multiple trusts, it's just multiple accounts. And I do believe somewhere along the line I read that even if we have to do this, it won't be forever. So at some point, you can consolidate all those accounts. I mean, just something to think about, because I know a lot of people have been concerned that, oh, my God, I need to get all these different trusts I can't afford right now. Yeah, well, you don't have to. You're just asking for different accounts. You know, obviously, Jim and I are very happy if you want to do multiple trusts, and we do believe that you will want to do that post-RV, as I mentioned. But in the meantime, you're going to be just fine with multiple accounts for your motherlode trust. We still don't really have anybody raising their hands, Jim. What else you got to say?
I got a couple of interesting things.
Okay.
All right, now I don't have a problem with people doing what I'm about to tell you, but you got to do it right. I got two calls this week, two different people, because at the end of the tax season, I got a call from some lady, and she didn't identify who the client was. She didn't identify herself well, so I just didn't want to answer any of her questions. Come to find out, she was working for a client. She called me and asked me, okay, this person's got this trust set up, and what do we do about the tax situation? Well, you have to identify who you are, who you're working for. I don't know you. I'm not going to give you anybody's information. I'm certainly not going to answer your questions unless I know who you are. She got mad and left. Well, I have no idea who that client was. Well, fortunately, about 2 days later, another person called and wanted to get some information, but they identified the client, told me who they were, and scheduled the call when we had time to sit down and talk. So they called, and I told them what they needed to know, what I could tell them, because I'm not licensed to tell people certain things. But this was a CPA that was trying to get some basic information on the trust, and she had never seen the trust before, and we walked through the process, how it works. She was jazzed about the whole thing, and she figured out, okay, fine. There's no taxes due for the trust because it's not been used. So now we're talking about, okay, you acquired the trust. That's an expense. So they got a tax write-off on that, evidently. Just tell me what you said. I don't know how that works. So if you're going to have somebody call us, let us know in advance. Schedule a call. Be on the phone. Introduce yourself with your professional, and we'll work with you. Don't just have a professional call me out of the blue, and then they're reluctant to even say who they're working for. Who in their right mind thinks I'm going to tell anybody anything? If you're not going to cooperate with me, I got to know who we're talking about. I got to know the fact that you are really who you say you are. You are a CPA. You're not trying to set me up. It kind of annoyed me. So, folks, I don't mind working with your people, but let's do it right. That's all I'm saying.
Good
want
point.
To add anything to that, Carol?
No, that's a great point because, you know, we're not accountants.
No.
So we can give you our best advice, but we're not accountants. So, but if you are going to have somebody call us, yes, they need to identify. You need to identify them before they have to identify themselves. Okay, we do have a couple more callers here.
Okay.
John.
Hello, how are you doing, Carol?
Pretty good. I haven't talked to you in ages. How are you
doing? We're doing well. There's a number of changes. I'm getting ready for the next phase in my life, too, to to retire and so on. And I'm taking just a bit of a look. Up here in Canada, there was an issue where the federal government stepped in and froze some bank accounts. And the number of banks in Canada seemed to cooperate with this. So I'm just wondering what safeguards you have. A lot of what we're doing here and talking about, you have to deal with banks somewhere. Well, what are the safeguards? Apparently, governments seem to have the ability to be able to freeze accounts on you. So what's your best step and advice in that whole area?
In my experience, obviously here in the U.S., they can, the IRS, whomever, can go in and shut down somebody's account for whatever reason, but they cannot trust, they cannot touch the trust account.
Oh, really?
And I was told that three different bankers in three different banks, and Chase, Wells Fargo, and one local to Seattle.
Okay.
Touch account. Trust. Touch the trust account. There we go.
Okay.
So I don't know Canada, but I would think so, because it's not yours.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. So if you, again, I'm going to have to, I haven't been tuning in for a while because I've been in the middle of doing all kinds of other things personally. So I'm going to have to go into the website there and check out your management trusts and also your, the abstract applications here. I haven't done that. I'm sort of behind because I haven't listened in for a while. I've been doing work and other things. So that's accessible on the website, is it?
Yes, it is, John.
Okay, great. Well, that helps quite a bit. Thank you for telling me that. That's very important. So if the trust were to write in a check somewhere, though, to for some charitable group, like you were supporting truckers or something like that, then they'd be able to trace that back. Would they then be able to still go after trust account checks?
I wouldn't think so. Jim, what's your thought on that?
I don't think they can. Well, let's back up two steps, John. What they did in Canada was extremely illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they got caught.
Oh, yeah.
That's the issue. That's the issue here is the fun part about this is when Trudeau got stupid,
yeah,
he outed the deep state's ability that the deep state didn't want us to know about. So that's why within 48 hours it was reversed, although they didn't give the money back and although they didn't give the accounts back right away.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It could happen no matter where you're at. However, now that they've been caught, now they've been embarrassed, now that he's been had his head slapped upside the head, I guess they slapped upside the head pretty hard on that one. That was stupid.
Yeah.
The banks are now walking on eggshells over that because they know that we know that they could do that. And, to, you know, there's no way that we'll be able to stop any of that stuff until after the fact. I mean, when it's all over with and they're gone, we don't have to worry about them anymore.
Yeah.
I think you see that situation change to where that'll never be a problem within 6 months, maybe a year. We got a little bit of time yet. We're going to have to fight the battle, but we're winning this battle. There's no doubt we're winning, and they're scared.
Well, we need to, but I guess from my point of view, I was so, what's the word? I had a good, shocking dose of reality, and I thought, okay, now we know what they can do and what they will do if they feel that they want to do it or have to do it. So, okay, so now the next thing you do is how do you protect yourself from that? And that was reassuring for me to hear that they can't touch a trust, but I'm not so sure. I thought they couldn't touch any bank accounts unless, again, it was criminal activity and charges were involved.
Yeah, there was no charges filed, nor court date, no court recording, nothing. They just told the bank to do it, and the bank did it. Now, that means who's liable here? The bank.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if the people are listening in Canada, our brothers and sisters in Canada, go after the damn banks.
Yeah.
I mean, go in there and file a lawsuit, do a class action, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Set a precedent that we're not going to put up with this crap anymore. We're, you know, the interesting thing about it is the normies, as we call them, that are still asleep, not realizing what's going on.
Yeah.
When they wake up, that's when the bank's going to be in big trouble. And
yeah.
There's more and more people waking up. I think there's over 50% of the population worldwide fed up with this stuff and realize that, hey, this got out of control. What's unique about this is people are realizing now that we're in control, not the government. The government works for us. We're in control. And
yeah.
Now we're starting to stand up with a backbone and let them know you can't do that no more.
Well, Canada still seems to be in a coma at this point on that one.
Yeah, well, that all started when you guys had to give up your guns. Same with Australia and a few other places. They're not going to mess with Americans too much because they know that behind every tree there's a gun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, if nothing else helps there. Going back, one other question just for a moment. I haven't been tuned in again. I've just been sitting on everything like everybody, waiting. You mentioned, are there call centers, and will you be advising where to call and what to do should this thing become a reality?
No, we're not. We'll send out a blast email saying the eagle has landed, letting everybody know, okay, now it's time for you guys to get on your, get your good clothes out, get the good, warm up the car, going to
yeah.
go to the bank, whatever. But no,
okay,
gonna,
go
just,
wherever you go then. How would we go about finding these exchange centers rather than just dealing with banks? I'm so, jaded now when it comes to dealing with banks.
And there are about half a dozen, as I say, these so-called gurus who will be posting the SafeLink website.
Mm.
And we're going to list those. We're going to list their links on this email.
Oh,
so
good.
When you get that, you can call the SafeLink website and tell them where you are. They will give you instructions there as far as I.
Oh, great. So I'll be watching for that from you guys then and then follow the links from there.
Yeah, that's the best
yes.
we can do.
Okay, well, that's pretty good. I really appreciate all that you're doing to stay on top of this. And, just don't hold your breath, but if it comes, you need to be ready.
Exactly. Thank you for reminding everyone. Appreciate that.
Thanks again. Bye for now.
Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's see. Charles is next. Okay.
Okay.
Yes. How are
Hello,
you? How are
you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Fine. Doing well. Just a little chilly down here in Florida.
Yeah. Charles, we can hardly hear you. Can you speak up, please?
Hold on. What about now?
That's much better. Thank you.
Okay. I said I'm doing well. It's a little chilly down here, unusually, in Florida, but within that, I had a few health issues, but I'm all right. How you guys doing?
Hanging in there, just like everybody.
cold.
Cold. Well, you're blowing some of it down here because we feel it.
Yeah.
Hey, but look here. I got on late. I don't know. I heard you addressing some of it, but would you please elaborate on the relationship? Okay, I understand. Multiple accounts under one trust. Okay, can you explain more again, because you probably may have already gone over it, but I just missed it because I got on late. The relationship that the management trust has, even though we got one trust, okay, let's say the motherlode trust, multiple accounts, how is that dealt with relationship-wise? How are they related?
Yep.
How business wise to transact? How would that work?
Jim, you want to take that?
Yeah. The management trust is a trust that's all by itself. It has a contract from other trusts to do work for them, and it gets a fee, so to speak, because the money's sitting there. And the contract is there's two ways to do it, and we have both ways available. If you already have everything set up and now you want to do a management trust, you just do a contract. We've got that. And you just download it, you fill it out, and you have the Board of Trustees agree to it, and everybody signs it, and they get a notarized that the signature, not the document's not notarized, just the signature's notarized, and that's pretty much it. However, if you don't have that set up, and you're going to go ahead and start with the management trust, set the management trust up, and then you take and have your mother lode trust create or be the investor into another trust, and there's where it because it has the right to invest X amount of dollars. That's how that trust now has the money. The management trust will get the money, or the real estate trust, because the real estate trust will have a contract with the management trust to manage it, to manage the money. So it's kind of like the money was dedicated from the investor, which is the mother lode trust, to the real estate trust, but it's diverted to the management trust because there's a contract between the real estate trust and the management trust, or it could be a power of attorney, or you know, however we want to put it together. There's various ways to do it. It's really simple, and it is already on the website, and it's just a matter of setting it up and doing it right. It's really simple, folks. It really is. It sounds complicated. It's not. Three sheets, or four sheets, I remember. It's not much. And all you do is fill in the blanks, and you can get your pen out and fill in the blanks, and then you just, that's it, it's done. And it has the right to do what you want it to do. It's very, very simple. It sounds complicated, but it's really not.
Look at the website and study on some more things. So, like, okay, let's study that. Yes?
We can't hear you, Charles.
Hold on.
You got to speak into the phone.
That's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go through it. Okay, let's say I got my management trust set up. Okay, then I have my mother lode trust. Okay, and I got these different accounts on these different currencies. Okay, so I guess where I might have got lost, but I'm trying to see.
All right, no, hold on a second. Here, let me explain. You're right, but let me take it down the road for you. So you have your mother lode trust. It doesn't matter how many accounts a mother lode trust has. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay, so when you're going to create a real estate trust, or you're going to have a contract with a real estate trust, if any of you already got it set up or not, one or two ways, not a big deal. You can pull whatever money from whatever account and dedicate it to the real estate trust. However, the money will actually move from the mother lode account, whichever currency you want to use, a little bit of each one, doesn't matter, into the management trust account.
So, in essence, I have
four vehicle trusts. One of them right now is empty, which I plan on filling shortly. I have a real estate trust. I have a management trust. I have two annuity trusts set up. And the investor in all of those was my mother lode trust. Now, I haven't moved any money to those, but it did create that. And the number that I want to put in there is in my information. I just don't have that money in the bank yet. But when it's there, I activate that. And then the money's diverted over to the management trust. Because it has a contract, the management has a contract or power of attorney to each one of the other trusts, the real estate trust, the automobile trust, the annuity trust, so on and so forth. And it's just a simple procedure of paperwork. And then I have one
contract.
Yeah, it's a contract. We have them. They're all set up.
Through contract, it's going to wind up running through the management trust to manage each account.
Yeah. It's for an example, I have these vehicles. And I was talking a minute ago about the spreadsheet. I have a spreadsheet. And I know exactly what I spend. And I have it. And it says account next to it. Well, the account would be the car. I have a Dodge Dart. I have a Dodge pickup. And I have a Expedition. And it says right there which account that money went to. It went to the Expedition. It went to the Dart. It went to the Dodge pickup, or to the house account, or I have an account actually set up now for furniture, because I got to buy furniture pretty soon because I'm moving. Anyway, it's all just done by contract. It's just a one or two or three page contract. You fill in the blanks, you sign it, you get your signature notarized, you put it with the trust, and I have one debit card. Does everything. If I go get gas, I use that debit card. And then I come home and I put the receipt in the box, I put the notation of how much it cost me. I don't really want to talk about that, though, right
well,
now.
But that comes out the management trust, right?
It's coming yeah, from it comes out the management trust.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Let me just say this. I put, I paid over almost $6 for gas at the coast 2 days ago.
Ooh, Lord.
I know. And and I'm driving a big V8, so how stupid is that, right? Anyway, yeah. So you just make a notation, and I just use a spreadsheet. Now, the spreadsheet, I can print it out, and I can, you know, if I have to go to the bank and talk to somebody about the whole thing or a CPA later on or anybody else, I've got it all. I got my records for the last 8 or 9 years all in spreadsheets. I can tell you exactly how much money I spend every month on gasoline, oil, maintenance, my electric bill, my cable bill, everything. But that's just my habit. I've always done it, and it's the first thing I do in the morning is usually reconcile my receipts over coffee. I put it all in my spreadsheet, and I'm golden. It's not hard.
So your management trust cuts down your paperwork that you would usually have to use in accounting and so forth to give them less paperwork you have to give them because it's all under the management of their trust, right?
Right. Now, let me tell you what I've done because I'm such a nice guy. I mean, I'm such a nice guy. What I have, if you go to the blog and you'll see that you have the one of the bears, then you'll see the one with Radon Tactics, then you go down and see one of the common law versus statutory law. Then you come in and see Brent Johnson's call. And you go one more down. It says Jim's example Excel spreadsheet to track expenses updated 6/24/21. It's here. Mm-hmm. You can print it. I mean, you push the click, says click on image to go to the blog post, and there it is. And then you've got a link below. It says click here to download it.
Okay.
So exactly what I'm telling you I do is there. Everybody, you can go get it. It's there.
Okay.
Now, you can change things around. Just an Excel spreadsheet. You can move things around any way you want. But I just give you the example. For my transfer, I have automatic transfer to savings, Sierra Springs, which is the company I use to get my water. Portland Gen is Portland General Electric. I have State Farm Insurance, Xfinity Mobile, UMA, which is our phone system I'm talking to you on right now. I have my Republic Transfer, which is the garbage company, and I have Comcast Cable. Those are my main debts. Then I have my rent, a water bill, and then I have my income from my Social Security and my so on and so forth showing. It's all showed there. So just click on that thing, and then you'll get an idea of how to set up your spreadsheet. You'll get an idea of how you're going to manage all of your accounts.
Okay. Yeah. That's
and you'll see that it's got three things here. It says GST, cash, and Jim. All right. Jim is my personal account that my Social Security comes into. GST stands for Good Shepherd Trust. That's my trust. And then cash, obviously, is cash. So what I do is every time I make a purchase, I note on here what account I bought it out of.
Mm-hmm.
So my gas, everything comes out of GST. The only thing that really comes out of Jim is I do my home bills, my water, my electric, and my rent comes out of that account. So I separate the two. So it's there. Just go download it and experiment with it.
Okay. Sounds simple. I'm going to go check it out.
All right.
Thanks,
okay,
Charles.
Thank
good
you
question.
All so much. Thank you.
You bet.
Welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Daphne. D. Come on. There you go. I know I lost you. Hold on, Daphne. Okay.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. I have a couple of questions. Jim was talking about the Board of Trustees. So, and you mentioned that we don't want anybody between us and our money, right? So if there's one person, how are you going to do a board?
You are the board.
Well, that's what I thought, but it made it sound like we had to have more than one person. So just wanted to confirm that. Just wanted to confirm it, that's all, with that, okay?
Yeah. Daphne?
Yeah.
Daphne? Okay, here's how I do it.
Okay.
My board of trustees consists of me, myself, and I, but I got to watch out for me. He's kind of stubborn.
Okay. I got you.
So you get the general idea. Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. The other thing is, maybe it's personal, I don't know, but is that a black card you're using?
debit card?
No, I'm just using a standard card right now.
The regular? Okay, for right now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then the funds that come from the mother load to the other accounts, how often can you put money in there? I mean, you want to put a certain sum in there to begin with, but how often can you take from that if you need to, like when you get ready to purchase a vehicle to put into another?
Carol's got a good way of explaining that. I usually screw this up. Carol, why don't you take that one for me?
It's been so long. I mean, I've written all this stuff down so many times. Have your vehicle trust. The mother load trust creates and funds the vehicle trust. Let's say you want to buy a car for $75,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the vehicle trust doesn't have an EIN, doesn't have a bank account. That's
right.
Where the contract mother load comes in, right? So okay. The $75,000 goes by contract to the management trust on behalf of the vehicle trust.
The management trust, okay. So if you don't have a management trust, so you can use a regular account, say for now. Let's say you bought a vehicle and you need to make sure that the money comes out of a certain account since it's not revalued yet. But you can put it into a regular checking account in your name, or is it, how are you going to set that up?
I wouldn't recommend your name, but if you don't, I mean, that's the reason we're doing these abstracts.
Exactly.
So if you're going to want to buy a car,
mm-hmm.
it's right after the RV, you get the abstract and we'll do the contracts because you will then technically have the vehicle trust, you just won't have it in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do the contract between the management trust, the vehicle trust, and the mother load vehicle management.
Okay, so then the vehicle does have a trust name. And then the funds will go into an account to take care of that vehicle under the trust name?
No, that's what the management trust takes care of. Management trust is going to pay for the car because it's already contracted to do that. It's going to pay for the plates, pay for the insurance, buy new tires, you know, oil changes, whatever. That money is going to come out of the management trust. It's all by contract.
Okay, so that's where I'm confused as to what name is going to be on the management trust.
Whatever you want to call it.
Let me jump in here real quick.
Okay.
All right, so we didn't answer the question she asked, but that's good. I'll get back to that in a second. Okay, here's what we do. I have a little tidbit of information here. My family is Scottish, and we spell shepherd a little bit differently than most. So I'm honoring my parents and their tutelage to me through my life by having the Good Shepherd Trust. The Good Shepherd Trust is my management trust.
Okay.
So I have the MBZ Trust, which stands for Mercedes-Benz, and I used to have one in that trust. Now I've got something else in it. And it has a contract with Good Shepherd Trust to pay for its insurance, for example. So the money is being written out of Good Shepherd Trust to pay for that insurance, State Farm insurance. The trust name doesn't come up anywhere except for at DMV.
Right.
And on the registration in the glove compartment. Nobody gets to see what's going on with that. They don't even know what it is. So the management trust, all your bills be paid by, in my case, GST, Good Shepherd Trust. I just have a notation on my spreadsheet what I spent the money on and the date that I spent it. And then I can go back and look in my checking account if I've used that properly or the cash account, and it's all there. So I have everything ready if I ever have to present this information to anybody for any reason. I have all my records. And it's just the Good Shepherd Trust cut the check for the gasoline for my SUV the other day, which almost made me cry. It was so expensive. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, his Oregonians are crazy out here. Anyway, you just use a Good Shepherd Trust for me. I use a Good Shepherd Trust, the debit card, or cash. And what I usually do is I'll take about a $500, maybe $750 out of the account every first of the month, and that's my cash account, and then I just keep all my receipts. sometimes I don't want to use the card. Depends on where I'm at. There's places where you just don't trust some of these people. And so you just pay cash. Then you have your receipt, and you put your receipt in the box, and you make a notation on it. It was through the cash from the Good Shepherd Trust. And that's all you have to do. We try to keep it really, really simple, and that's why we created the management trust. Just got to keep it really simple. Okay. And so the check would be, or the money would be coming out of Good Shepherd Trust, although the trust that it was actually paying the bill for was MBZ Company, or MBZ Trust. So that's internal. Nobody gets to know about that. You know about it because you got it on your spreadsheet, but nobody else knows about that.
Okay.
Does that help?
A little bit. No, it helped a lot. Thank you. Okay, the other thing changes this direction a little bit. On the wealth managers, people may have been talking to a wealth manager and they say, oh, okay, when this happens, you can come in to see me. But there's also information that you said today that people would be getting information possibly from their bank or Wells Fargo, whoever it is. And if they don't get one, not to panic. So for those who don't get the email, if they've been in contact with a wealth manager, what is your suggestion on that?
Call a wealth manager. Once you got the money, trust me, call them. They will listen to you.
Oh, yeah.
They will answer. Frankly, I don't think we're going to have an issue with all that. I don't think this is going to be the way everybody thinks, because we are now in a new banking system.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republic is now in force, and the old corporation is gone. Hence, they were told to get out of Washington, D.C., and they didn't, but so that maybe picked up next week. Who knows? That's another story. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out, but that's why I do everything the way I do it. It's simple. I mean, I have one account, takes care of everything, good spreadsheets, good records, lots of receipts. I'm golden. I know exactly where I stand.
Okay.
Just grade them and work it.
Okay. So is it once a month then that would take something from the mother lode? That was my concern, that taking money from the mother lode.
What I wanted Carol to expand on, she did such a good job, is how do you move money to the trust after the trust is already set up? Well, basically what you can do is you can loan the trust additional funds and then forgive the loan later because it is private. You need to do some paperwork when you do that. You need to write a minute and have it. And then you need to have collateral. Collateral is already given because you have the certificates of beneficial interest. You can use those for collateral. That's just a way that if you ever get audited, the government knows, okay, you did actually submit collateral for the loan. And then you forget the loan later. It's really simple. There's some of that information is in our stuff. Carolyn talked about this here a while back. We're going to probably expand on that quite a bit shortly. We are still in the process of revitalizing our website. They got pretty well hammered. And I still got a lot of stuff I'm putting on there. I'm adding more and more content to it daily. And we did update the 3i Trust app website yesterday. So it's all looks a little bit better, looks a little cleaner, no typos that I can find. But I think that if you just give us a call, Daphne, if you get into a situation you're just having some trouble understanding, give me a call.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you've done very good in the answers. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, both of you.
All right.
Have a great day. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Daph.
Okay. You're welcome.
Karen, you've been waiting a long time. Oh, Karen? Come on, unclick here. Oh, Karen, I'm trying to open your mic. Karen, are you muted on your end? Star 6? Yeah, it's not working. Well, we'll try another one, Karen. I'll try and come back to you. Linda? Linda, okay. There's Linda.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, and yourself?
Good, thank you.
Good. I noticed Jim B. keep talking about a contract. When you use money or put money in another account or something like the trust, what do you mean by have a contract?
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, whenever you move money, whenever you're going to have somebody else manage your money, you want that in writing. And the contract just simply says, to break it down really shortly here, let's use MBZ Company, MBZ Trust, rather. MBZ Trust has a contract, and the contract says, Management Trust, I'm going to allow you to manage all my money for that car payment and car insurance and car this and car that, and I'm going to put the money in your account. You're the custodian of that, and I trust that you're going to do the right job. That's basically it. It's just a three-pager. It explains how it's going to be managed, how it's going to be done, and the rights and the powers of the trust that's managing the money. That's all it is. It's just you have to have things in writing. And the biggest thing here is you're a trustee or you have a board of trustees, and should something happen to you, if you don't have all this stuff in writing, how is the successor going to know what you did, what you're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing to take over? You have to have all of this documented. Because this trust goes for 25 years, and then another 25 years by simply writing them in and saying, hey, we want to go another 25 years. That's why it's on very thick cardstock. It's got to last a while. So the contracts, that's why we put the contracts together, are evidence that you were operating as a business, and you did it properly, and all your successors know what you created and how to manage it and continue after your demise or after your retirement. That's what the contracts are about. They're very, very simple. There's no here two fours and there two widths and all that legal stuff. No, it's just we wrote these really slick little contracts, and they're there to download. And that's all they are. They're just evidence of what you really wanted to do. And it works. Carol, you want to add to that?
No, you think you explained it well. You know, back before my husband Jay and I met Jim, and Jay and I were just getting started in the trust business, you know, we're going through the trust itself. We're going through some of the promotional literature we wrote. We're going through contracts and things like that. One of the things Jay said was we need to keep this simple. Like Jim just said, it's not full of whereas's and here to's and all that. This is all in plain English language. The whole idea is to make it usable, make it friendly. And that's what we have tried to do consistently. I mean, since Dave and I, Jay started, consistently tried to make it easy and understandable. So when it comes time for you folks to use these things, and hopefully that will be soon, you will not have any difficulty with it. So that's my concern.
Let me add this one little tidbit here, and then we'll get off this. We have, between Carol and I, we have over 800 minutes. Can you imagine how many subjects we can go over with 800 minutes that we can produce for you? We're getting more and more on the website as we go along. It's going to be in a database, and we're trying to create that now. And so you can go in by subject, search. You'll find the minute. You take it's going to be in an RTF, which stands for rich text format. The reason I decided to move it to that direction, why is it not finished, is because I moved everything over to a different format, because a rich text format, RTF.RTF, will also work with WordPerfect. It works with .doc, .docx, in other words, .dot and .x, which are the earlier and later versions of Microsoft. It also works with Notepad, standard script. So these can be copied and paste them into your word processor, Microsoft Word, for an example. And then it should keep all of its formatting. And then you fill in the blanks, type in whatever you want, print it, three-hole punch it, put it in the binder. It's that simple. So the minutes that we are putting together right now is for everything you can think of. It's going to be a humongous database. It's taken a long time to build. So,
it's
does that help?
Base.
I'm sorry, what was that?
But it's already a humongous database.
Oh, yeah. Our website's over 700 gigabytes. That's a huge website. And it takes me about an hour a day to pack it up. It's amazing. Anyway. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get all that stuff done. The new database is slick, it's clean, it's working well. One of the reasons why we went to this new format is because it's minimal, and with all the fun graphics and the pretty stuff and the sales stuff and all the stuff that we had on the other website, it was over a gigabyte. So I've got it down by 300 megabytes, or 300 gigabytes. I got it down that far. So it's running faster now, and that was our problem. It was just bloated.
Yeah. Anyway, Jim, I think the only question left is Karen, and I can't seem to get her online. So okay. Karen.
Was that her?
I don't know. Karen, you're just not there. No, it's not working, Karen. I'm so sorry. Well, Jim, you want to close? It's 6 minutes after. So you want to go ahead and give your closing information?
Sure. My name is Jim Knox, and I live in Oregon still. Don't hold it against me. And you can get me at 866-341-6907 from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. I do not work weekends. Actually, I do, but I don't want to take calls during the weekend. It's my time to catch up. And security at indicatorinformation.com is the best way to get a hold of me by email. And, Carol, that's all I can think of.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for your time and attention today. My name is Carol Worlius. My number is 877-333-5018 or 206-915-4236. I am typically available between 10 and 6 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Best way to reach me is also by email, which is info@information.com. So have a happy and safe weekend, everybody, and go RV. Bye-bye.